You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Richard Kaufman and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Andrés Romero claims his first European Tour title in 10 years with a stunning victory at the BMW International Open.
I
was nervous when I got to the 18th green, but finally when I was thinking with two putts I could win the tournament, I was really nervous, but now I have my trophy and enjoying this moment.
A dramatic final day saw the Argentinian finish a shot clear of Thomas Dietrich, Richard Bland and Sergio Garcia.
I felt like I played well enough to win, for sure. Obviously, a couple of missed putts here and there today and some really good putts that didn't want to go in. So, yeah, you have to give credit to Andrés. To go out and shoot 65 today was pretty handsy. So, I'm happy for him and we'll just keep trying.
A review of the best of the action from Germany to come. Plus, we'll preview the second event in the Rolex series, the H&A Open de France at Le Golf National. Hello, I'm Richard Kaufman. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Ewan Murray. Ewan, hello.
Hello, Richard. Good to be in your company. Another busy week ahead.
Yeah, some big events coming up. But of course, first of all, we need to digest what happened over the weekend at the BMW International, where tournament invite Andrés Romero claimed his first European Tour win in 10 years. A narrow one-shot victory at the BMW International Open in Germany. There were a number of players that looked like they might win it. Looked like a playoff was on the cards as well, but it was Romero that did it in the end.
Very pleased for Romero. Underrated player, a player who lost his way. Left the European Tour, in my opinion, too early. And, you know, you cast your mind back to the Open Championship at Carnoustie. 71st hole, has a go over the Barry Byrne with his second shot. Hits the wall, over to the Byrne side, out of bounds. Five at the last, whereas one bogey and one par would have got the job done for him. That's how close he was to becoming a major champion all these years ago.
Yeah, the thing I remember about Andrés Romero most at the Open is one year he had Carlos Tevez, the former Manchester United striker, caddying for him. But I think that says more about me than anything. But it was incredible, really, that he has no status. Well, he didn't until yesterday. No status on the PGA Tour, no status on the European Tour. You get an opportunity like this. Some might see it as you've got nothing to lose, but when you have everything like that to gain, to play, what, the last 10 holes in 7-under, that's incredible.
Especially when you look at the talent that was tucked in behind him and tied with him most of the way through the back nine as he was making his move. He did do fairly well over in the United States. He managed to pick up a victory there, but believe me, this is a player who is capable of challenging for major titles. He's one of the best putters in the game. He's now older, he's wiser, he's more experienced, and the boost he'll get from that victory in the manner in which it was achieved will be enormous.
It's kind of the year of second chances for a lot of players. Alvaro Quiroz, Eduardo Molinari, and now Romero as well. You're seeing some players that are taking these opportunities and giving themselves, as I think Andrés called it, a life-changing week.
That's exactly what he said on victory and taking the trophy. But as I say, a really good player, Romero, and now that he's got a home once again, he's no longer a nomad, he's no longer travelling throughout the world trying to find a place to perform. He's now back on the European Tour, and one of the things I like is the sponsors. They gave him the invitation. That could have gone to anyone else, but they gave him the invitation, and in the end, on Sunday evening, they handed the trophy over to him. So it was fairy tale stuff.
It was indeed. There were, as I mentioned, a few players. It could have been them, as always, as there is every weekend on the European Tour. Sergio Garcia, Richard Bland. I suppose the name that stood out, particularly on the front nine, was Thomas Dietrich, young Belgian that we know about. He's got great talent, but he took two-shot lead, didn't he, at the halfway stage, turned in 31. Then he missed the green at 10, lead was down to 1, and then the chasing pack sort of gobbled him up. But he didn't just disappear, did he? He managed to maintain his composure.
No, and you look at him and you look at Thomas Peters and you look at them, they're pushing each other along, perhaps. Really good performance. But when you've got four or five in play over the last nine holes and all of them very capable of winning, one mistake becomes very expensive.
Yeah, Sergio Garcia. Really, I suppose what frustrated him was that missed putt at 16, to miss a tiddler like that. What is that down to, a lack of concentration, or was it a poor putt, Ewan?
I think we all know that Garcia's up there with the best ball strikers in the world. He may even be top of the list, certainly top of many people's list. We also know that if there is a weakness, and I say that in the kindest possible way, he's maybe not the best batter. He's not a Jordan Spieth. He's not a Tom Watson when Tom Watson was at his prime. That's not Garcia's strength. His strength is wearing people down by hitting fairways and greens and giving himself opportunities. If he has a reasonable putting week, he's going to be inside the top three. So just a blip for Garcia. Came at the wrong time, and it was costly for him.
Do you fancy him still, though, to do something big in the next few weeks?
I do. I feel it's like the London buses. You know, when you've waited over 70 majors to get your first title, and you manage to get over the line at Augusta, the green jacket, the next one might not be far away. It's a very special year for him because the week after the Open Championship, he gets married over in Austin, in Texas there. So he maybe have part of his mind on that. And that might be a good thing, funny enough, for Royal Birkdale. I don't think it would be a surprise if he was to go ahead and win.
No, no. Going back to yesterday, Garcia, I suppose a bit of surprise that he didn't get the job done, given the position he was going into the back nine. But there were a few other players. I mentioned Dietrich, who ended up setting the clubhouse target at one point. Richard Bland, what was it? His 411th European Tour appearance. We're going to hear from him in a little while. Frustrating for him not to have got it done, or pleased just to find a bit of form?
I think a bit of both, Richard. When you've been struggling for a while, you wonder where the next good performance is going to come from, and it'll do wonders for his confidence for the rest of the season. And, of course, there's still so much to play for.
Yeah. You just wonder whether the win is going to come for him. Keeps knocking on the door, I suppose, more regularly than he has maybe 5-6 years ago. The last, 18 months or so, he's played as well as he has done in his career.
Well, it came for Garcia. It might come for Richard.
OK. A couple of other performances to talk about. Tommy Fleetwood, very good follow-up, wasn't it, to his US Open display?
Fine performance at Erin Hills, yeah, and a long way from Wisconsin all the way over to Munich, but played sound and the golf we expect of Tommy Fleetwood now. He really is some player and rising the rankings very quickly.
One performance that stood out for me, though, was Renato Paratori. When you're that young and you have your first win, your first time you tee it back as a European Tour champion, you sometimes expect them to go a little quiet, but there he was challenging again for the title.
Nothing like the confidence of youth, Richard.
Yeah, we're struggling to remember, aren't we, you? A little bit. But it is incredible that, you know, he can, you know, just keep running with the baton like he has done.
Yeah, and again, inspired by the performances of Molinari and other Italian players down the years. We've had, 5 or 6 different Italian winners since the European Tour began, and he's just carrying on the tradition, but he looks the real deal to me.
Yeah, Rickard Karlberg finished with 3 straight birdies with a round of 66. He finished in 5th. I know you're going to run through the top 10 in a little while, but the 18th was very interesting, wasn't it? Because Sergio Garcia and Richard Bland both needed eagles at the last after Romero. A terrible first putt, but he made up for it, didn't he, with the second putt?
Yeah, a first putt you can understand, given the position he's in, and the first time he's been in that position for a decade, basically. But to have the confidence and the calmness and the patience to go ahead and knock the second one in, and you could see the relief, you could see the emotion through coming out through the back of his eyes and the smile on his face that all of a sudden he was back to somewhere where he was once familiar.
Yeah, a round of 65. Incredible finish from Romero to finish at 17 under par to win it by a single shot. It's his first European Tour title since, well, he won in Germany, the Deutsche Bank Players Championship of Europe back in 2007. He hadn't made a regular European Tour appearance since the 2012 BMW Masters, and his last top 10 came at the BMW PGA Championship in 2008, so something about the sponsors, maybe. At the start of the tournament, he was ranked 837th in the world. Big jump. He now moves up to 182. Some incredible stats there, really, isn't there, Ewan?
Yeah, looking forward to the World Golf Championships and the majors next, all because of a win over 72 holes in 1 week, and 1 week, one chance, as it was for Romero.
Well, let's hear from him now, shall we? Back in the winner's circle once again on the European Tour, of course, the 2017 BMW International Open champion, Andrés Romero.
Well, yeah, it was an excellent round. 7 under today and with no bogeys is huge for me. And I was nervous when I got to the 18th green, but finally when I was thinking with two putts I could win the tournament, I was really nervous, but hopefully I was good to do to two putt, and now I have my trophy and enjoying this moment.
What does this win mean to you?
La verdad que significa mucho, ¿no?
It's huge for me because I only have part-time status in the PGA Tour, and I didn't have any status here in Europe. So this win gives me the choice to play here, and I'm happy for that. They asked me if I wanted to become a member, but I didn't know I was going to play this well, and it's great.
So fantastic for Andrés Romero, and you know, from not knowing where he was going to play one week to the next, now he can sit back, look at the schedule, decide where he's going to tee it up and play.
Rolex Series on the way. Very timely victory.
Yeah. What's he going to be playing for? About €30 million over the next 4 weeks he's going to be playing for?
Correct.
Very nice indeed. Well, as we've already discussed, Richard Blam was another man to enjoy a very successful week in Germany. Delighted to say he joins us on the Race to Dubai show now. Richard, I suppose another near miss, obviously a few hours to digest it. What's your thoughts looking back?
Yeah, a little mixed emotions, but obviously the main thing is, you know, is to take the positives from it. Yeah, I've had a pretty slow start to the season. I've had some time out through injury, which has not helped and kind of put me, you know, in a bad place technically with my swing. I slipped into a few bad faults, which has taken time to iron out. And yeah, and it was nice to see some, you know, reward for the hard work that I've been putting in. And yeah, and it's just nice to be back in, you know, at the right end again and feeling those feelings that you feel coming down the stretch on a Sunday. And, you know, to play with Henrik and Sergio over the weekend was fantastic. And, you know, and to kind of hold my own against them, you know, only kind of builds my confidence.
Yeah, you kind of touched on it in a way. Last year was probably your best ever year on the European Tour. It's not easy to follow that up, but of course, you're 43 then, 44 now. Do you feel like you've still got a good few years yet to enjoy life as a European Tour golfer?
Yes, of course. I was kind of, sort of saying last year, the next 5 years are very big for me. Obviously, yes, I'm 44, so you know, I understand I'm probably one of the older guys out there now, and the guys that are coming onto the tour are, you know, getting younger and younger, fitter and stronger. And, you know, so it is harder for us, you know, older guys to kind of keep up with them. But, you know, we can use our experience and, you know, and I've got enough of that now. So, for me, it's about trying to stay fit and healthy and just staying competitive as long as you can. And, you know, unfortunately, I've had a few health issues this year, which is getting better. And
what specifically were they?
Yeah, I had quite a serious back problem in the Middle East. My sort of lower spine, one of my lumbar discs and my sacrum were a long way out of line. Yeah, and it's just taken a lot of time for them to settle down, get realigned, kind of keep slipping back. And yeah, and it's just an ongoing kind of maintenance thing now that I just have to keep doing. I have to go and see Anton Jakubowski in London. He's done a great job on me to, you know, get me back playing. And it just put me, when I sort of came back playing, I was protecting my back. So, yeah, I wasn't swinging probably as well as I should because I was trying to protect it and wasn't swinging as freely as I was last year. And, yeah, so I was hitting some pretty poor shots, hence why my form was, you know, completely nowhere. But, you know, myself and Tim Barter, you know, we worked very hard to try to iron those out over the last couple of months. And it takes time. And as I said, it's just nice to get some kind of rewards for, you know, for the hard work that I've been putting in.
Richard, winning is never easy. You've had a few chances over the course of the last 10 years or so. Yesterday was not an event you lost. You had 5 birdies in the space of the last 10, so you can take an awful lot of positives from that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I struggled a little bit on the front line. I warmed up really well. I hit it great on the range. Tim had sent me a message and just said, you know, just commit to every single shot, no matter where it goes, just give it your full commitment. And and even though I was doing that on the front nine, you know, I wasn't hitting it good enough. I wasn't hitting it close enough. And, you know, actually, when I birdied nine, I actually felt quite good that, well, I've got out the front nine level par. And, you know, and I gave myself a bit of a talking to on the, you know, going to the 10th tee, I said, look, you know, if you shoot 4 under on this back nine, you know, you're going to be right in there. And, you know, so it was very pleasing, you know, to birdie 10 and 11 and then to birdie 14. And the only shot that I didn't commit to all day was on 17. You know, I was a bit in between clubs and I just didn't commit to it. And obviously, you know, that kind of lost me the, or, you know, kind of made it very, very difficult for me to, you know, to then make three at the last. But, you know, I was proud of the two shots I hit into the last and, you know, I just misread the putt. So, you know, I had a few tournaments last year where I had the chance and probably faltered in the last couple of holes. And I don't feel like I really did that yesterday. I finished strong and that's great for me to take forward.
The shot you mentioned there at 18, the two shots you hit in, two terrific shots. If you look back on the week, which shots are you prouder of? The shot into 18 or the one out of the water at 11 or the eagle on 13?
To be fair, probably the second shot into 18, I think, is probably as good a shot under the circumstances as I've hit in a long time. Yeah, the shot out of the water on 11 was kind of a bit hit and hope, and I didn't really know what was going to be under the ball. Yeah, if there was a rock under there, then I was, yeah, all I was going to do was bounce the club and I'd have just hit it straight into the sleepers. So, yeah, that was kind of like, there was some luck involved in that. But
you weren't tempted like Henrik Stenson then did when he did it to get into your underpants, Richard?
Well, I did think about that walking around, and and I thought, oh, Christ, what boxer shorts have I got on? But then, fortunately, Gary, my caddy, said, look, I've got the wet gear in as there was a storm forecast. So, fortunately, he saved my blushes there and, I could put the wet gear on. But, yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was great for the crowd to sort of get that up and down. And, I kind of turned probably six into four there. Yeah, and that probably gave me the chance on Sunday. Yeah, the wedge shot on 13, yes, it was a good shot, but there's always, again, that little bit of luck element that it just goes in. But the shot on 18 yesterday, when I needed to give myself a chance to make three, to hit such a good shot that I did, can only help my confidence and take me forward into France this week.
Big injection of confidence, obviously, with that performance, Richard, and coming just at the right time. The Rolex Series about to find top gear.
Definitely. That was always this next 4 weeks. Even last week was a big event and. And I kind of, even though the last couple of weeks I've made the cut in Sweden, I've made the cut in Austria, there were signs that it was turning around, even though I wasn't really putting the scores together and I was finishing down the field. But I kind of like, just stay patient here and, it is coming. I could see my practice sessions were getting better. And it was just a matter of taking it to the course. So it's not, we now play, obviously, the French, the Irish, the Scottish, which are all Rolex. And then, fortunately, I've got the Open as well, so... Yeah, it feels great coming now into these next 4 weeks where I feel like I've got control of the ball a lot more. Yes, it could improve, but you need that going into next week into France because if you're not on your game there, it's just gonna eat you alive.
Yeah, you touched on it there, Le Golf National. It's some golf course. How do you tackle it, Richard? Do you have a specific game plan for it?
It's difficult sometimes to get a game plan there. I think because we've played it in so many different conditions and we've played it when it's been really, really soft, so you can play more aggressive, and then there's times when we've played it really, really firm and fast, and then sometimes it kind of takes driver out your hand because putting it in the fairway around there is absolutely premium. If you're playing from the rough around there, then you're going to be packing your bags on a Friday and going home. But it's just a great test. It really finds out where you really are with your game. If you play well, it's not one of those courses where you can see kind of 63, 64. If you shoot at 69, 70, it's that's a good effort and it's never going to hurt you. You probably look at the winning scores over the last 5, 6 years. I probably doubt anyone's got into double digit. So it's one of those courses where you need a really good short game, and that kind of plays into my hands as well. Yeah, my short game has always been a strength of mine, and. And it's just a really good test. It just tests every part of your game, and hopefully the weather's nice. When it is, it's just a great pleasure to play there, and it's going to be a fantastic Ryder Cup in sort of 18 months' time.
Well, listen, good luck to you in the coming weeks. As you say, some big events coming up, and of course, well played in Germany.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, great to hear from Richard Blenn. Well done to him again. Of course, he played that final round with Sergio Garcia, who kept up the impressive form he's been showing in 2017 with a share of second place. It could have been even better, though, couldn't it, for the Masters champion? So how does he assess his time in Germany?
Oh, it was a good week. Obviously, fell just short. I felt like I played well enough to win, for sure. Obviously, a couple of missed putts here and there today, and some really good putts that didn't want to go in. So it was difficult to get anything going. And then, you know, unfortunately, you know, that chip looked pretty good, but it just missed on the right side. So, yeah, you have to give credit to Andres with, you know, with no status neither here in the European Tour or the PGA Tour to go out and shoot 65 today was... It was pretty handsy. So, you know, I'm happy for him and we'll just keep trying.
Yeah, it's amazing how philosophical you can be when you know you've got a green jacket waiting in the wardrobe.
Well, that's true. And you look at the words in the middle of that quote there from Garcia, played well enough to win. How often do you hear that from him? So it's confirmation once again that if he putts well, he's a big challenge.
Well, the highly talented young Belgian Thomas Dietrich was another to claim a share a second. So what would he take away from his week?
A lot of confidence. You know, I knew my game was in very good shape. I wasn't putting great, and then now I was just making some good putts. It feels good to be in that position again on the weekend. You know, I think this kind of positions, you the more you get into those positions, the better you can deal with them. So I just got to keep doing my thing, and a win will come soon.
Yeah, very confident talking from Dietrich. He's had a third. That was in South Africa right at the start of the season. Now a second place. You do feel when you're watching him play that it is a matter of time.
There's that way, I think, with many of the young talent we have. And because the tournaments now are greater, they're of more importance, the prize fund is bigger, the talent, the younger talent, will only grow.
Yeah, some wonderful goal from Thomas Dietrich. More talent coming through from the Challenge Tour by the week, isn't there? So it'll be interesting to see how he progresses over the next few weeks. Ewan, just run us down the top 10 in full, please, from the BMW International Open.
Two-way tie in 10th, Henrik Stenson and Henny Otto. Two-way tie in 8th, Renato Paratori and Nacho Elvira. Tommy Fleetwood continues his amazing run, and he's got an awful lot of golf to play over the course of the next 2 months, entered for all of the Rolex series and, of course, the Open Championship near his hometown. Into the top five, Richard Carbrook with a fine final round, sole possession of fifth place there. Three-way tie for second, Dietrich, Richard Bland and Sergio Garcia. But it was all about one player from the faraway land of Argentina. Fairy tale stuff for Andres Romero.
And remember, go to the European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the best shots of the week, as well as other great content too. So moving to the Fantasy Race to Dubai tips, Dan Roebuck, who sat in this chair last week, went for a burnt Wiesberger, finished in tied for 20th place. Jamie Spence went for Andy Sullivan, finished tied 51st. So we haven't got too much to beat, have we, Ewan, when we come to our picks later?
Well, I've got to be very careful. I've had one or two dodgy picks this year, I have to say. They had FTQ after their name on a Friday evening.
Oh, OK. Well, we'll look forward to who you choose for the French Open in a short while. But in the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, Peter Skidmore scored the most points this week after selecting Sergio Garcia as captain. Also included Thomas Dietrich and Richard Bland in his lineup. Pretty good going. Elizabeth H still leads the overall global standings. Meanwhile, in our very own Race to Dubai show mini league, the Sean Ryder Cup, listener Mike Rees registered the most points this week. So a big well done to him. Jamie Kennedy remains out in front at the top, though. I think I'm somewhere near the very bottom. Never mind. Remember to head to the website europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the HNA Open de France. Ewan, give us those top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, please.
In 10th place, Francesco Molinari, just behind Thomas Peters in 9. Good to see the Japanese star Hideto Tanihara has come to the game quite late, 37 years of age. He's in 8th place. Ross Fisher continues his fine performance from last year into this season. Bernd Wiesberger is just outside the top five. That top five include Justin Rose. In 4th place, Alex Norton. The sensation from Spain, Jon Rahm, in 3rd place. And just the two players ahead of him. Tommy Fleetwood in 2nd. Garcia extends his lead at the top of the Race to Dubai with his tied 2nd place in Germany.
As always, plenty of other news to digest. Congratulations to Harry Ellis, who secured a place at next month's Open Championship after his success at the 122nd Amateur Championship at Royal St George's. 21-year-old beat Australian Dylan Perry in a sudden-death playoff to qualify for Birkdale, as well as next year's Masters and the US Open as well. Some win, Ewan, wasn't it?
Remarkable. Four down and five to go. Four down at the turn in the second half of the final, and you think, well, that's pretty much that. Finds the bunker at 16. Three down and three to play. Manages to get up and down. Extends the match to 17. And it's typical of match play. You start chipping away and you start chipping away at a big lead. It puts doubt in the other fella's mind, and it gives you a little bit of confidence and a bit of air to walk on all the way through, and he certainly did that. That was one remarkable victory.
Yeah, he won the English Amateur, didn't he, when he was just 16 years of age. An amateur from Hampshire playing at Royal Birkdale. Now, where have I heard of someone like that before Justin Rose?
Yeah, a long time ago now, and of course it means two players from Hampshire in the last 2 years won the British Amateur.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, also congratulations to Oscar Stark, who sealed his maiden European Challenge Tour title with victory at the Made in Denmark Challenge presented by Einar Hessel. The Swede, who won by two shots at Royal Oak Golf Club, moves up to seventh in the Road to Oman rankings. And on the PGA Tour, Jordan Spieth claimed his 10th title with what was a stunning playoff victory at the Travelers Championship in Connecticut. Spieth, who finished 12 under par alongside fellow American Daniel Berger, holed out from the bunker on the first extra hole to take the crown in dramatic fashion. Just 23 years and 10 months old, he's the second youngest since World War II to win 10 times on the PGA Tour. Of course, the youngest was Tiger Woods. It was the most remarkable win, wasn't it, Ewan? I know, like me, you were watching that last night.
I certainly was, and it's very strange that you have the last three groups playing so poorly. You had Boo Weekly dropping shots all over the place. He wasn't alone. Spieth was having his own problems. And yet it made for very entertaining viewing, simply because I think we could all look at that type of golf and think, well, we know that type of golf fairly well. But you get to the end, you get to the playoff, and one moment of magic, a sprinkling of stardust, and Spieth's a champion again.
It does a little bit for him in the top 10 of the world rankings, doesn't it?
It surely does, which has changed quite a bit over the course of the last month or so with the win of Brooks Koepka in the US Open. Brooks in 10th place, just behind Ricky Fowler. Alex Norden back to winning ways, of course, with that brilliant final round at Wentworth. He's in 8th place. Stenson at 7th, and Garcia just outside the top five there after the extra points he got over in Munich. Into the top five, Jason Day beginning to slip a little, McIlroy beginning to slip a little, Spieth taking full advantage of that with the victory at the Travelers. He moves into third, and just the two players ahead of him, the runner-up in the US Open, Hideki Matsuyama, and of course the world number one by quite a distance, over 4 points, Dustin Johnson.
So on to this week's event now and the 2017 H&A Open de France at the Golf National, the second instalment in the Rolex series with a prize fund of $7 million up for grabs. Tongchai Jaidi, he's the defending champion, won by four shots over Francesco Molinari last year. I know you know this course very well, Ewan. The Golf National, it's some stage for the players this week.
It surely is. The routing was done by a Frenchman, Hubert Chesneau, and it's really got the hallmark of Robert von Hager, one of the most respected world golf course architects based over in Houston. And he also designed Le Bord, which is down in the Loire Valley, which many believe could well be the finest inland course in Europe. So it's a great place to go. It's a great test. Only the best game will do, your A game there or home on Friday night.
It's going to be a big focus on it, of course, in 2018 with the Ryder Cup being played at that golf course. In terms of the layout, in terms of the way it plays, what sort of player does it suit?
Well, it depends very much what type of weather they've had. And last week in Versailles, it was 35 degrees. So it could be firm, fast and bouncy. And then it plays a links-style kind of golf, even though it's a long way inland. If the rains come and it softens, then the emphasis definitely is on hitting fairways off the tee. They've reshaped the fairways. They've tightened them up at the driving distance just to add a bit of spice to the top players that will make their way to France. But this is the ultimate test. You win at Le Golf National and you've beaten a high-quality field on a top quality golf course.
We come to the field in a moment because it really is top notch in who's there. 12 of the world's top 50 are teeing it up. In terms of the finish, though, is there a better finish on the European Tour?
I don't think so. The strange thing is there's no bunkers and no water at 17, and 15, 16 and 18 have plenty of it, both of them.
Yeah, it's going to be a stunning week, of course. And as I said, backed up by the names that are there, just to run you through some of the names that are going to be featuring: Alex Norin, of course, John Rahm playing on the European Tour in Europe as a European Tour member for the very first time, Tommy Fleetwood, Francesco Modinari, Tyrrell Hatton, Thomas Peters, Wiesberger's there, Lowry, Beef, Poulter, and of course there'll be a strong French contingent too. Of course, one or two of those names that are teeing up would love to be playing it next year as a Ryder Cup player.
Levy, De Buisson, Avery, Jacquelin, Langasque, Bourdie, Wattel, Hibert. There's a lot of really good young French players, but, you know, the pressure is on them to try and achieve their form to make their way into that site. And if they do that, make their way to the first Ryder Cup with their best form.
OK, so John Rahm, I mentioned him, has actually had probably the first difficult period in his professional life. Had a poor round at Sawgrass. The US Open missed the cut by a fair distance, didn't he, after a very poor first round. Talk about his temperament. What do you make of what you've seen of him?
Well, there's so much talk in the media nowadays about every young star that comes up. And, you know, they're not robots. They're not machines. He did play some fantastic golf in the early part of the year, winning over at La Jolla. He had a really good run in the Dell Match Play in Austin, played some super golf there. And there's been other good moments for him as well. But he's a very young lad, and he's going to have down periods as well as the up periods. It's how he copes with that. I don't think patience is probably the best club in his bag, but when you look at anyone of the age of 22, 23, when did patience ever come to the top of the list?
I know, and he says his inspiration is obviously a certain Spaniard called Seve Ballesteros, and, you know, Seve was never one to keep it in, was he? And you want to see that as a viewer or as a commentator, whatever you are, you want to see a bit of passion, don't you?
I think so, and I think you saw it from Olazabal as well, maybe in a quieter way than Ballesteros, but this lad's a top player. He's looking forward to making the Ryder Cup team. It's actually one of his goals, even though he's playing a lot in the United States. He's back over here to get the points, make his way up that list, and really keen to be at the Golf National in 2018.
Yeah, six of the 2016 Ryder Cup team are going to be in the field as well. Who, for you, is a standout player? Who should we be watching for you? And I know it obviously will be part of your picks, so hopefully not the kiss of death for the poor soul.
Well, I hope not, but I was going to go for Bernd Wiesberger, to be fair, who won, not last year, but the year before.
And then you found out that that's who I was going to pick, so after much discussion, you've decided that you will be magnanimous and go for someone else, is that right?
Yes, I couldn't share the joy with you if Wiesberger won. It's difficult because you look at Thomas Peters, more than capable. Tyrrell Hatton's had a quiet 6 weeks after a very good spell in the United States. Tommy Fleetwood in the middle of a good run, top six last week. We've talked about John Rahm and Alex Norton, of course, with that fine win at Wentworth. But I'm going to go for the man who finished second last year to go one better, Francesco Molinari.
Yeah, he was also second in 2010 and 2012 too, so it's a case of trying to get one better. Why not?
Yes, I knew that. That's why I've picked him.
You know that now, at least you. So I was going to, obviously, as you know, I was going to pick Bernd Wiesberger, 2015 champion. I mean, playing such consistent golf. And he does say this is a golf course that suits his eye. He had a good final round in Munich too. So a lot of pointers saying that Wiesberger should have a special week. As it's a Rolex Series event, we're allowed a number two pick, someone that maybe isn't in the favourite mould. So have you managed to claw your way down the field and pick out a name?
Yeah, I was going to go for Bernd Wiesberger, but then you picked him as
no,
well.
No, I said not a favourite, Ewan.
I'm going to go for Peter Yearling.
OK.
I think he'll be inspired by the win of Brooks Koepka over in Wisconsin. He started to show some form once again on the European Tour after one or two injuries. So if you can count Peter Yearling as an outsider, I'd very much like to have him.
Yeah, no, I think we can put him in the outsider bracket, Peter Yearling. I was between two players. My first one was Beef, because he kind of plays really well on difficult golf courses. Of course, his victory last year was at Valderrama. I'm just tempted by one other player who's going to be an even bigger outsider, bigger price than that. I'm going to go for Marcel Siem, who's a former champion at Le Golf National. Missed the cut last week in Munich. He's not quite getting to the standards that he was a couple of years ago, but he's just gone back to his old coach, Günter Kessler, who also is a coach of Martin Keimer, another who's played very well at Le Golf National in the past. And I think a couple of top tens in the last couple of months show that Marcel's starting to get back to where he wants to be. So I actually tipped him up last week and he missed the cut. So why not go for him again this week? Marcel seems my outsider.
I wish you well, but not too well.
Well, listen, it could be one of any number of players, couldn't it? Such is the quality in the field this week.
Great course, great field, big prize fund, Rolex Series. What more could you ask for?
So just to remind you of those fantasy Race to Dubai picks, Ewan's going for Francesco Molinari and Peter Uihlein. I've stuck my neck out and gone for Bernd Wiesberger and Marcel Siem. But that's all we've got time for now. Next week, we'll look back on events at Le Golf National, plus also preview the third instalment of the Rolex Series, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And if you've enjoyed the show, please don't forget to rate and review it on iTunes. But for now, from Ewan Murray,
bye-bye.
And myself, Richard Kaufman, bye-bye for now.